Gnosis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way with new eyes. So, stay with us, and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today, what is the mind? Before we explore this topic, I'd like to say a few words about Alice Bailey, founder of the Lucis Trust, and the Lucis Trust sponsors this show. Alice Bailey also wrote 24 books of esoteric philosophy, and those 24 books are the main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear on this show. The following thought is also from the works of Alice Bailey. The trained mind is regarded as the highest expression of which humanity is capable. It is viewed entirely as a personality, and the possibility of there being something which can use the mind, as the mind in its turn uses the physical brain, is overlooked. Last time we were talking about the emotions. How do they relate to a trained mind?
A trained mind is one that can rise above the emotions and not be dominated by them. For too many people, they may think that they are thinking, but in fact they are reacting, they are expressing purely emotional force and not really in touch with the mental realm of ideas at all. And I think this opening thought from Alice Bailey suggests that when she says the mind is viewed entirely as a personality, as if it's an entity unto itself, and as if the personality, which is separate from all other personalities, characterizes the mind. And yet, in the spiritual view of the ageless wisdom, the mind is a vehicle, and it's the means by which communication takes place from mind to mind. In other words, when we say, I know my own mind, or I act on my own mind, as if the gates have come down and I am entirely in charge of it, that's not really accurate, because the mind is the means by which we receive from other minds and by which we transmit thoughts, ideas into human consciousness. It's a wonderful instrument for service if we really understood it as a mechanism for the soul, the higher self.
Right, and I think there is some confusion today, at least in light of what we understand here of the esoteric approach to the mind from the Eastern teachings. In this part of the world, in the scientific community, there is, I believe, still the belief that the brain and the mind are one and the same, and they are not really, according to the Eastern teachings. And Eastern teachings of the Yoga Sutras of Patanjali have been around for thousands of years, and they have been applying these teachings in the Hindu traditions for thousands of years. So they have come up with the realization that the mind is like a template. It's like a sensitive plate. It's like an instrument. It's referred to in the teachings as simply an instrument that registers either whatever comes through it from above the soul, from the position of the soul, or from below, from the personality life, through all the five senses. all of those information that comes through the senses is synthesized and related in the mind. So it is that view of the mind that we are talking about today. And the mind and the brain are two individual separate organs.
That reminds me of what you're saying of Hammarskjöld, Dag Hammarskjöld, the former Secretary General of the United Nations. He wrote a book, kind of a collection of spiritual realizations that one might keep in a notebook or a journal. It's called Markings. And he wrote in his book, "You are merely the lens." And that reminds me of what you're saying about the mind being like a photographic plate, as if it's a receiving station, but also a lens through which light can pass. It's not a warehouse where things are stored up. It's not only that, but a lens through which ideas, energies, spiritual realizations are transmitted into human consciousness. Does that relate to what you're saying?
Yes, they make also the analogy of the mind being similar to the eye, the human eye.
Mm-hmm.
The eye is a lens, essentially. It receives light from outside. Information comes through the lens. It doesn't interpret what it sees. It just transmits. And that the interpretation, it goes further back in the mind, in the brain. And so the mind is, in a way, similar to the lens of the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And it receives the information coming from the inner planes, the more subtle planes, from the soul, and also, as I said before, from the information coming from the five senses.
There's another way to work with that idea also, and it has to do with the human being's place in the great chain of being through which the plan of God works out for our planet. Humanity is just one kingdom in a chain of being that includes the lower and the higher kingdoms, the spiritual hierarchy of the realized, liberated beings who have passed through the human stage, humanity itself, and then what we call the lower kingdoms of animal, vegetable, and mineral. In all this evolutionary progression, humanity is said to be the middle or mediating kingdom. And we find the clue to what that means, what we're supposed to mediate, in the real Sanskrit origin of the word man, which is from the Sanskrit word manas, meaning one who thinks. And I find a relation between that and what you're saying in realizing that the human mind is supposed to be a transmitter, a receiving station, and a lens through which God's plan can be transmitted into the world and work out in man's relationship to the lower kingdoms. We're supposed to serve them. We're supposed to be stewards of our planet. And when we look at the evolution or the environmental crisis today, I think we have to realize we have viewed the planet as something for our plundering rather than for our stewardship. We've interrupted that flow of energy in the chain of being by not realizing we're supposed to be mediating from above to below, and that requires the mind.
Right, and it's that kind of middle path that is the mind, and the middle path that, in other words, the mind has to be awakened and it has to be aware. And when it is awakened and aware, then one begins to make contact with the inner path, the inward way towards the soul. And it is the mind that is the mediating stage through which makes all this happen.
Mm-hmm.
Until the mind is awake, until it is illuminated, and it is sensitive enough to register the inflowing ideas and impressions from the soul, then there is no awareness, perhaps, even of the soul.
There's a very interesting religious or spiritual connotation to that. The Christ principle is the soul that dwells within every human being. Christ himself is the perfect embodiment of what all of us are intended to become. And so that very controversial statement in the New Testament when Christ said, "No man cometh unto the Father except by me," has been interpreted to mean everybody has to become a Christian and be baptized and be saved by Jesus. That's one interpretation. Those people who believe it, that's their privilege, and I'm not arguing against their interpretation. But there's another way of looking at that statement. "No man cometh unto the Father except by me," is to say no one can make contact with or be absorbed by pure spirit, which is the Father, God, without passing through the progression of the soul, which is the Christ principle. And that's the purpose of the mind. The Christ principle is equated with what the ageless wisdom calls the Son of Mind. The mind is our doorway, our gate to the higher realm of pure spirit.
Yes, in fact, in the ageless wisdom teachings, it tells us that the soul on its own plane of existence is located on the higher mind,
mm-hmm.
and it is located in this mind. The mental plane is subdivided into seven subplanes, and this gets a little complicated, but there is a lower mind, a concrete mind, which is we use in everyday thinking, the analytical mind, and then there is the higher mind, which is on the higher, more refined reaches of the mental plane, and that's where the soul is located. It has its point of anchorage. And then in the middle, there is this Son of Mind, the middle stage, and that's where that's kind of the next stage of awakening and awareness that humanity must experience in order to really bring forth this Christ principle.
You can see from that how the materialistic culture that we live in works against this opening up of the mind, because so much of our way of life is focused on terra firma, on matter, on acquiring lots and lots of material stuff and making sure it's in peak working condition and reflecting everything to us of what we desire out of life. That's just the concrete mind, and the Western human being has learned to work very well on that plane. We've developed a technology and an ability to maintain health and create organizations and schools and many wonderful things. But that's just part of the mind, and this inner abstract aspect to the mind that is the point of liberation into divine consciousness has too often been ignored. We're told by Alice Bailey, her opinion is that the Eastern spiritual mentality has totally emphasized the abstract mind at the expense of paying attention to the outer realm, and they've suffered as a result of that inattentiveness to the world of form. Both are needed. And these are all aspects of the mind.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight. And our topic for today, what is the mind? And I would like to once again reach out to you guys. You've been very supportive of us, and somehow we have been able to hang on week by week. WOR has been very helpful, giving us like little micro contracts, but it's been tough. You guys have been coming through, though, and you've answered our plea for help, and you've been donating, but we would like to get to some point of security where we could guarantee that we're going to stay on for a good solid year, or in some cases we've done 2 years, and it gives us, when we have that kind of funding, it certainly gives us a sense of relief and security, and we just march on and do our shows, and we have that kind of mental security that is good for us and helps us do even a better show. And also, I think what's more important is eliminating these advertisements where you have to hear about us reaching out for your support. But these are difficult economic times, and we realize that that although many of you are out there, that you're really suffering through these economic times that seem to be so challenging. But you've been donating, and we've been able to stay on. I don't know how long that's going to continue, but please continue with your support if you can. We certainly can understand if you're not able to, but that's what helps keep us on the air. So give us a call. And, not even a call if you want to donate. It's probably best just to send your donations. They are tax deductible. Send them to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. That's Lucis Trust, Lucis, L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And as I mentioned before, probably our greatest dream is to have these shows underwritten by a corporation. Actually, you know, it's been the individual small donations that totaling them up have really been primarily responsible for us staying on the air. Once in a while, we do get some nice donations that are quite big, but the smaller donations have really been the driving force in keeping us on. But if there is a corporation or some wealthy individual out there who would like to underwrite the show, that is, pay for the whole show week after week, we would certainly mention your name, and we would give accolades to you, and I think you would be doing a lot for humanity in the sense that you would be helping in your own way to with our message, and that is developing the divinity within your own being and reaching a point of consciousness where divine values are being applied. And we think that the kingdom of God is within you, as Scripture says in so many books. But right values have to be developed, and it becomes really the kingdom of right consciousness, which is then applied to outside life. So give us a call if you want to. Also, if you'd like to call us about any question whatsoever, give us a call at 1-866-695-8247. That's a toll-free number, 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. That's 1-866-NY-LUCIS. All of our Insight programs can be heard on our website at www.lucistrust.org. On the homepage, you'll find the link to today's program, which will be available for hearing in a day or two. Last week's program is already available, and many of our past programs can also be heard. That's www.lucistrust.org. The theme of each week's program is posted in advance on our website so that you can see in advance what next Sunday's program will be. And you can also buy the works of Alice Bailey. We have you can purchase all 24 books from us at the same time, whereupon you would get a significant discount. Or you can buy them piecemeal, one book after another, and most people start with the autobiography of Alice Bailey or the book Ponder on This, which is an overview of all 24 books that are abridged. Our topic for today, what is the mind? And I really thought I knew until I started reading the books of Alice Bailey. And
we totally befuddled everybody.
Yeah, it's much. Well, I think it's much more interesting this way, that to hear that the mind has so many levels to it, and they function in different ways. So maybe we can continue with that now.
Yes, the abstract mind is interesting to consider. I've been told that, for example, the French educational system gives much more emphasis to the abstract mind. Children are taught throughout their early years of education to learn to reason and to deal with abstract philosophical questions. And I have seen this in my French friends, that they are perfectly comfortable dealing with ideas, with concepts on a purely conceptual level. I don't know in the American system if that's so emphasized. I do remember in my own education years ago that one of my instructors would write a thought for the day on the blackboard. One of the students would be picked to read it out loud, and then we would spend just a couple of minutes talking about what it meant and what it implied. And I loved that because it was a chance to philosophize and think about the meaning of life and the big questions, which I guess my 15-year-old mind enjoyed. I don't know if schools still do that, but the abstract mind is the ability to see patterns and deeper meanings. What else?
Right, and that's the really the objective behind the higher mind is the to be able to see behind this the outer form and see the patterns that are emerging and that are actually the source or the cause of the forms that we see in the world, source of our own selves, for a matter of fact. And there is this new stage. It's a more subtle stage of thinking, and the higher and the deeper one goes, the less of the really concrete mind comes into play. And in fact, there are techniques of meditation that help to develop this very capacity until we reach beyond even the abstract mind to the pure intuition. We don't really understand, I think, today what the intuition really is. We call these hunches that we have or these inspirations to be intuitions, and it's much more than that, because true intuition is more of a reflective type of thinking, and it's not this analytical type of thinking that we are engaged in on a daily basis. It doesn't require analytical thought. It requires pure, quiet, reflective thought on the whole idea, and it's information that comes through this kind of thinking that one develops the capacity to see the past, the present, and the future all in one.
Too often, I think people think of the intuition as something that belongs to women who we all know are so emotional they can hardly think, and so they just live through their feelings, and they are intuitive, and once in a while they get something right. But the spiritual intuition, I'm being sarcastic, people, I don't really believe that. The true intuition in a spiritual sense is the ability to register the plan, to register it instantaneously, whole and complete. It's the razor-like aspect of consciousness, but it requires a well-prepared mind. And the best example I ever saw of that was a mathematics professor at Princeton, I think, who had been trying to figure out the solution to Fermat's theorem, which is a mathematical conundrum that great mathematicians have been dealing with for years, years and years, without being able to solve. And he had been working on it for years and years and years. And then one day he said he was sitting in his study up in the upper, the attic of his home where he worked, and simply sat back in his chair to rest his thoughts for a moment, and the solution came to him, whole and complete. And it turned out, the experts checked it out and found that it really was the answer. He had really received it. But he had spent years in school, years becoming a mathematician, and then more years working with this theorem. Then suddenly the answer entered his mind, but the field was well prepared.
Right, and as you say, he leaned back in his chair and relaxed, and that opened the mind up for this idea to get through. The problem is with the thinking, and the concrete level of analytical thought gets in the way, and we make the mistake of thinking, well, gee, I've got to really think this problem through, and we think and think and think, and all of this sets up a pattern of resistance for these more subtle thoughts to get through. And that's why, as you say, it needs to be a prepared mind, and prepared through like techniques of meditation, which are developed through quiet reflection, absolute quiet reflection, and not this deep analytical thought. And it's in those moments that higher inspiration suddenly comes through.
Another way to develop this higher aspect of the mind is to try to think in terms of the larger whole, to not be just focused on one's own little realm, one's own world, one's own ideas, one's own little tiny portal, if one were a ship at sea, looking out through one of those little tiny portals onto the great ocean, but standing on the upper deck of the ship and seeing the whole seascape from horizon to horizon. That comes through cultivating a realization that one is a tiny fragment of a whole. That has a way of opening up the mind and giving access to the higher abstract and intuitive realms.
And we also have to remember, too, that there is, in addition to the mind principle, there is the thinker, the one who is doing the thinking and the reflecting. That is the being, that is the higher self, the soul within, that is doing the thinking. That is who you are, really. And the mind is, as it says in the teachings, it has no personality of its own. It is you who are using this.
It's our servant.
Right. And it's this sheath of energy that interpenetrates the brain and therefore registers eventually on the brain.
Remember your mother saying, if you would just think? She was right.
You can call to get a general package of information on our toll-free number, 1-866-695-8247. That's 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. LUCIS is LUCIS. It's 1-866. Think of New York, LUCIS. Additionally, you can get a great deal of information about LUCIS Trust and the Alice Bailey work. And the way you can do that is by keying into our website at www.lucistrust.org. And also, you can find out about more. You can find our archive library of InnerSight programs that have all aired on this station. Once again, the website, www.lucistrust.org. On the homepage, you'll find a link to today's program, which will be available for hearing in a day or two. And at this point, I'd like to say to you that you've been listening to InnerSight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Thank you.